Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All About Entrepreneurs. We're excited that you decided to tune in to the show today. Heard every weekday morning at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and 6 a.m. Central Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. Well, we want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out. We want you to get ready to take lots of notes. We want you to go to another level in your life because it's all about entrepreneurs. Well, we have exciting guests who will come and teach you the strategies, the tips, the tools for you to be successful at life, at work, at school, and in your business. And now your host, the power coach, Lalisa, and the possibilities coach, Cassandra.
Good. Awesome, awesome. Yes, good morning.
Good morning. Another great morning.
Oh, yes,
yes, it is.
Are you, my co-host? How are you today?
I am wonderful. Another great day, and I am thanking God for him and asking him to direct my path this day.
Yes.
This day. Wow. A day we've never seen before, and that's exciting.
Yeah, and you know he'll do it if we ask him.
You know, the Bible says the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow. So there is richness to be found in this day. I'm looking for it. I'm expecting for it. And you know what? I'm going to get it. I'm going to get just what I believe for. So that's a good thing. That is an excellent thing.
That's right. If you expect it. I love how he exceeds our expectations. And so whatever you can imagine or think, it ain't going to look like that because he's going to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think. We can't even think it.
Yes.
It hasn't even been said yet what he can do for us. If we just believe and be okay with, and you know, and it's his pleasure to give us the desires of our heart. So
absolutely,
we don't have to be afraid or ashamed to ask our Father. He's our Heavenly Father, and He wants us to feel comfortable in asking Him. I mean, look at how many times in the Word of God it tells us to ask, you know.
Yes.
To come.
Yes.
Yes. You know, I love him.
Yes. Go
exactly.
Ahead.
We do. We limit him with our finite thinking. You know, we have to get that infinite thinking, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to get that supernatural mindset. You know,
absolutely.
Coach Cassandra, I was looking up the word belief yesterday, and I said, how do we get our beliefs? What are beliefs? And it was saying that your belief is something that you believe about something, like, all the time. Like, that's your constant belief about something, you know. So if you're looking at the things that, look at what you think about something how you feel about that thing all the time. Then that's your belief. That's your belief about it.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And it's interesting you mention that. I was looking this morning, and the Chanel Cooper Sykes says, you'll receive what you believe, all back to Scripture, right? But this is just a little quote she had. You'll receive what you believe. What you believe, you'll become.
Yep.
And today is a day to elevate our beliefs. So she said, I truly believe I am worthy. I believe I am valuable. I believe I'm lovable. I believe I'm precious. I believe I'm successful. And I believe I am destined to be everything I can possibly be. And I will be the best. I believe I am wonderful. I believe the greatest in me is becoming every day. Mm. Every day we are processed to be a better me, to be a better you. And it's all based on the decisions we make. If it is to be, hey, it's up to me. So what are you deciding to become? That's the question. Are you letting your limiting beliefs keep you limited? Or are you deciding, God, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can go to the next level. I can do something I've never done before. And that's what you're doing, Coach. This week you started doing something you had never done before, and it sounds like it's awfully exciting. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, my God. It is totally exciting. I tell you, because everything, you know, and again, I have to be a spokesperson for the belief and the concept that just keep on doing what's in your hands, even though it may not seem like it's leading anywhere, it may not seem like you're getting anywhere, but keep on doing what's in your hands, what's in your heart, what's in front of you, because God is the one, capital G-O-D, he's going to work it all together for you. You'll see that. So that's what I'm experiencing right now. I'm sitting looking at, I'm actually in a position where I'm looking back 20 years, and I'm seeing almost 25 to 30 years how he's worked all that stuff together for such a time as this.
My God.
No thing was wasted. No experience, no situation, no crises, no chaos wasted. It's all needed. You know, it's like a culmination that this is what it's all. And
it sounds like that scripture that says all things working together for good. It may not have felt good at the time, but it worked together for your good. So you can look back and you can tell somebody, God did it. I don't know how. I don't know why. I don't know nothing, but God did it. He did what you didn't think. You got the college degree you didn't think you could have. You know what I'm saying? You got the husband you may not have thought you could have had. You have the life you never thought you could have. God did it. Woo!
I never thought I could do any of these things. And God, you know, he let you know you could do these things. And so, but you got to do what's in front of you, because in front of you is necessary for where you're going. You used to tell people would say, I don't know why I'm here. I don't want to be in this mess. I don't want to be in this situation. I'm not supposed to be here. And we motivational speakers, we try to tell people, you're right where you're supposed to be. Where you're supposed to be. You may not know why you're there, but you're there.
Right.
And if you don't operate it correctly, you could miss what you're supposed to get out of it. You know,
all right,
Joyce Meyer wrote a book that I read about 12 years ago entitled Enjoy Where You Are on the Way to Where You're Going. I encourage you to go and get that. You can go to the library, possibly. They may have it there. You can go online and look it up or go to her website. It's entitled Enjoying Where You Are on Your Way to Where You're Going. Get that book, read that book, and it will bless you.
I love the title. I absolutely love the title of this. Now, who was it by again? I didn't quite hear the author.
Yes. Joyce Myers.
Oh, Joyce Myers. Yes, absolutely. You know, everything she writes is good. Oh, I know that's good. Yes. Wow. Wow.
Great book. Great book. And, you know, like I said, it's been here a long time. And these are books that have launched me to another one that I read about 16 years ago. So I mentioned it before. It's by Dr. Wayne Dyer. Dr. Wayne Dyer. And it's entitled, If You Can Believe It. No, If You Can See It. So See It, Believe It, and Achieve It, or something like that. Again, he probably wrote the book. He probably wrote the book 20-something years ago. That one,
right.
I know you can get. That you can get from your public library. You can check it out. That book is so powerful. That book, because the concept is in that book, and he wrote that book long before The Secret and all of that was exposed. But he wrote that book. That book talks about how you got to see it in your mind's eye first. So
yes,
that takes a while. You can visualize yourself driving that particular car or sitting behind that particular desk or whatever it is you desire to do. But he teaches you in that book how that works and why it's true.
Come on now. And I have done just that. I have wanted, you know, a car or vehicle or something, and I go to the car dealership not knowing how or any of the, you know, things that go along with that because I didn't have the credit to get what I wanted. And I'm telling you, I'd look up and somehow, some way, God would connect me with the right people at the right time. And what I believed for became a reality. And I didn't deserve it, but hey, thank God for grace and mercy. And bam, there I was, driving what I wanted.
Favor. And here's the thing with Dr. Wayne Dyer and others. Now, we absolutely, some of us know the scripture in the Gospel of Mark in the New Testament, the book of Mark, in the 11th chapter and the 24th verse. It says, believe that you receive it, then you have it. So,
oh,
no. It said, whatsoever things that you desire, when you pray, you believe that you receive it, then you have it. So, we already know that thousands of years ago, this was already written down in a book. We're not saying that Dr. Wayne Dyer created the concept, but he has a unique way of explaining it and teaching it that many people who may never read the Bible, who don't know the scriptures, who may not listen to a preacher, will also be able to get it and apply it to their lives. And many, many people, you know, Dr. Wayne Dyer is a very spiritual man. He has his teaching is very spiritual.
And that's what's so great, you know. Yes. Go ahead.
Go right ahead.
Yes, I was just going to say, and that's what makes it so awesome. That's why God has created people to be authors, you know, like yourself and myself, Wayne Dyer, and many others. It's because sometimes you may have a way of expressing something that helps people to get it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, you know, even though I have read the Bible and will continue to read it, you know, I mean, there are still things I read in the earth that are very beneficial to add to my reading. So, you know, that's what makes it so wonderful. That's why you have so many writers. God wants to express himself through those writers so people can get it, so they can understand maybe what they didn't understand before. So that's what's so beautiful about it.
Exactly. That is so correct. And this is an opportunity right now. This is the opportunity right now. This is the year of Minister Beverly. Part of her teaching as starting off the year, she kept teaching that this is the year of advancement. This is the year of advancement.
I love it.
And what that and part of that year of advancement means, you have to be prepared to advance. See, God's not going to put you somewhere where you're going to either, you know, make a fool of yourself or not be successful. So we have to do our part. Letting him prepare us. You know, we say, prepare a table before me. God is a prepare. He likes to prepare us through our situation, through education, through experiences, through books that we read. All of these things are preparing us. That's why we have to be clear or, you know, paying attention. I love how my Spanish teacher used to say, escucha, escuchen. You know, listen up. Pay attention.
Yeah.
We got to stop going through life like in the military. We used to say we were skylarking if we were standing around the flight line just looking up in the air, so to speak, not paying attention to the plane landing, and somebody could get hurt. So you always got to be paying attention to your surroundings, whether it's on a job, whether it's you're in college, whether you're in high school, whether you're just standing at the bus stop, you know. Got to pay attention to yourself. You could be in church. Doesn't matter where you are. Could be in some house of worship or whatever your situation is. But paying attention to your surroundings. You know, listen up. What's going on? What's happening? Paying attention to your life, because God is taking you somewhere. You may not feel like you're on destiny, but you're on destiny. You know, Denise Jenkins says, you're not living life. You're living destiny. Is your destiny. And our words and our thoughts and our actions are all a part of our destiny. And when you look around, you're like, okay, what do I want to take to my destiny with me? What am I doing? What am I doing? And here's the thing. What legacy are you leaving? Talk about, anyway,
all right.
Coach Cassandra, that's right. What legacy are you leaving in this place where you're at? In other words, what do people know you for? And I know Coach, Coach Fred wants to jump in, so we let Coach Fred. Good morning to the newly engaged, not newlywed, but newly engaged.
Good morning. It's rough.
All right. Good so morning. Is the sun? How's your sky?
The sky is a little light gray.
All right.
It's overcast. It's raining here. Is it raining there? It's raining here.
Your gray is a nice color, you know. Yeah.
But I love the rain, especially in the morning, knowing that the water symbolizes the word, and it just means that the Lord is showering the word down on me. So I love the rain. I love it in the morning.
Yes.
But glad to be here with you all this morning.
Yes. What do you have for us today? Any nuggets of wisdom to drop on the people today, Coach?
No, I'm just inspired. I want to hear the speaker. I want to hear the person, and because I think they have something for me today. So I just want to listen. Be obedient.
Okay.
Well, listen and be obedient at the time.
Wonderful, wonderful. All right. Well, I think our speaker today, I don't know. We may have a speaker today. I'm not sure. But the speaker may be you. No. But we definitely want people to. You may be the Coach Fred. So go grab up your notes. We know Coach Cassandra is the author of a book, and we're going to ask Coach Cassandra, unless she has to jump off, to tell us a little bit about her book. I know she has a very exciting book. We may have a guest coming on shortly, but, you know, I'm working the controls remotely from the car, and they don't like it too much in New Jersey when you don't have both your hands on your steering wheel. So I won't be able to. But Coach Cassandra has an awesome book. She's going to tell us about The Gift. Coach Cassandra.
Yes, we both have some awesome books, but one book that I absolutely enjoy talking about and is called The Gift. And The Gift is about discovering what's on the inside of you. You know, in other words, we all are a gift to the world. We don't see ourselves that way many times, but basically as you take time to discover who you are, sometimes that might take some meditation, it might take, you know, getting in a quiet space and thinking about, you know, what is, basically it's kind of a culmination of what we do in coaching. You know, you're going to take some time, you're going to consider this, your goals, your giftings, you know, what do I love to do? What could we wake you up in the middle of the night and you just be spontaneous, you would just do it. You know, that's how you're tapping. A lot of times people have gifts, but they don't look at them as gifts. We've had people who said, well, you know, I've been singing since I was a kid, but I didn't really think that was what I was, you know, my calling or whatever, because I just did it all the time with my family. And sometimes things you do all the time and they're so natural, you don't really think of that as your lifelong pursuit. And so, you know, the book takes you on a self-discovery of how to tap into your gift, you know, what can you do that you enjoy already that could be beneficial to someone else, be beneficial to the world. And, you know, you start thinking about that, you write it down. You know, you might even want to ask some other people, you know, what do you see in me that, you know, that you feel is a natural gift that I've already tapped into. And then sometimes, you know, it might take some training. It might, you know, take going to college. I'm sure, Coach, like for Coach Lalisa, I'm sure you never even thought that you could become what you became until you started taking, you know, a class. You know, then you did the next thing and the next thing, and before you know it, you know, you've got an MBA. Wow. You know, who could have thought that that's something that, you know, a gifting that you had down on the inside. So some of the gifts are a process of becoming. And so, and then also it could be, you know, we could have some self-esteem issues. We could have some issues with, you know, things that happened as we grew up, and that could cloud the gifting that's down on the inside. So as we take you through this self-discovery, you're finding out who you are. And one of the scriptures I quote is from, if I remember correctly, it's John, I think it's around the 7th chapter, where Jesus talks to the woman at the well. And what he tells her, if you knew the gift of God that is standing before you, in other words, you'd know who you are. So a lot of times you've got to find out who you are because of God, because of Christ in you. And as you make that self-discovery for yourself, then you say, oh, okay, this is who I am, or this is who I can become because of Christ in me, strengthening me, helping me along the way. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And so towards the end, I talk about, you know, because I've come into this place of freedom and finding out who I am, you know, that I expect, you know, one day to get a phone call from, you know, T.D. Jakes' staff to say, you know, hey, Bishop Jakes wants you to come on over for dinner, or, you know, come and preach at his church, you know, because I've discovered how awesome and wonderful I am. Other people discover that, you know, that discovery too. And so you get all kinds of invitations, you know, maybe someone from the president's house, you know, calling me to come to a function. So because I'm open to the possibilities, anything can happen, and I'm waiting for it. I'm expecting it because I have discovered and tapped into how awesome and how wonderful, and it's not because I'm bragging, it's because I'm you know, if I am bragging, it's because of the Christ on the inside of me, because of what he's done. And so because of this discovery, and I know who I am, and this gifting has come forth, hey, I'm open to anything, you know, occurring, talking to, you know, some of the top-level people in the country, and even that's happening on our radio broadcast. Who would have ever thought we'd have a Steve Barber or a Michael, I can't think of his last name, I'm sorry, your friend that came on that works for the congressman, Michael, help me with his last name,
yeah.
Lisa. But anyway,
Michael Gray,
Michael Gray. I was going to say Gray, but I just didn't want to you know, mess it up. But anyway, so guys, allowing us to have these wonderful people come on. George Frazier going to be on at the end of the month. Lethea Owens, people that have national, international distinction, and is why I'm mentioning it, because you just never know what God is going to do for you if you allow yourself to be open to the possibilities. Because God's done so much more than I could ever think, so much more than I could ever imagine, Coach, because I'm now open to it. I used to say, oh, no, those kind of people, they wouldn't talk to me. Why won't they talk to me? Why not me? Why not you? You know, you got to flip the script and look at it differently. Go ahead.
And you know what I realized, too, sometimes, that the only reason they won't talk to you is because they don't know you. So you got to get out there. Talk to somebody you never met. You don't know their name. You don't know their phone number. You don't know their email address. So you got to get out and network and meet people. And you know, Sandra, and that's a great, you know, your book teaches people that. And, you know, we always say that people used to say, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And then we learned that it went to another level. Well, it's not what you know, it's not who you know, it's who knows you. Because, again, you may know me, but if I don't know your name, I still can't call you. I know President Obama, but does President Obama know Lalisa? No. And then we took it to a higher level. We said, well, it's not just, you know, what you know and who knows you. Here's the thing, is what do they know about you? Okay.
Come on now.
Let's say if I needed a speaker on empowerment, do I know that Coach Cassandra does that? So I'm still not going to contact you if I don't know something about you. That's where it comes into play, where we have that brand out there or that website. That's why, if you noticed about 15 years ago, 10 years ago, Facebook and LinkedIn, that's why it grew so expeditiously, because it became a way of getting what do people know about you. Let's just say you're Jennifer Hudson, and you sing, let's just say you sing ballads or whatever they want to call it. Now, no one's going to call her up to perform at their event. They don't know something about her. And that's where you, in the workplace, people are looking for promotion. People are looking to get called upon to do things. But how can your supervisor call on you or a person in another department if they don't know what you do? And if you keep your gift, as Coach Cassandra is talking about in her book, if you keep it hidden, who's going to know it? That's why the Bible said, don't hide your gift. Stir up your gift. He said your gift will make room for you. That's just awesome, Coach.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, Coach, I heard you talk about self-discovery. What are the elements of that? How does a person discover their self and what their talents are? You said branding. I'd like to go into that also, and how do I brand myself? You know, what do I do? What's a brand?
Well, you see that throughout, you know, the country now, that's becoming pretty popular to brand yourself. That means something you become known for, something that you do over and over again, and you get with a good coach. A good coach can help you brand yourself, can help you if that's the area that they specialize in. And if you that's what many of the big companies do. You see Procter & Gamble, you'll see Kmart, Walmart. In other words, they have usually a theme let's think about Target, how they have that dog. I don't know what kind of dog that is, but it has that red circle, you know, around its white body. And so Target is becoming known for, I guess, that red dot, you know, the red Target sign that you see. So it's a way of being known, because that's what people constantly see before them. So they equate McDonald's with the Golden Arches. And we have different things. We equate Burger King with the king, you know. They actually have a king with a crown on his head. So, yeah. What did you say, Coach Louisa?
Yeah, let me just add a little to that. That's so good.
Yeah.
And, you know, you mentioned one of my favorite companies, and not just because I'm from Cincinnati, Ohio, which is their home company, Procter & Gamble, but I happen to know that they teach branding to all of their employees. I have friends who work there, as some of you may have as well, but, again, I was born and raised in Cincinnati, so I even have, you know, family members that work there. But they actually teach branding to every employee. And here's one of their major concepts about branding. And American Airlines and all the major companies do teach this to their employees. Guess what? You already have a brand. Now, what does your brand say about you? The Nike brand says that the Nike sneaker will last long. It will draw you attention because the name has gone forth, blah, blah, blah. What does your brand say? We all have a brand. My brand may say that, you know, I'm humorous. My brand may say that, you know, I'm just, you know, give an example. If I was to sit 10 of you down and I would say, what do you think about when you hear Lalisa Williams? That's Lalisa's brand. If you say, oh, well, she's loud, she's obnoxious, she keeps it real, she's a well-dresser, she knows things, blah, blah, blah. Guess what? Now, the problem with some people is that they may need to change their brand because is your brand getting you the results you want? The Nike brand gets them what they want, all right? The Kellogg's brand or the whatever, and that's what people need to know. You already have a brand, but what does your brand say about you? Does it say you're weak? Does it say you're humble? Does it say you're mediocre? Does it say you are a bully? Does your, you know, on the job, wherever you work and people you're around, you have a brand, but I know in terms of marketing, more and more people are starting to build their brand because they want to build a positive brand. They want to build a brand that says, I'm a thought leader. Build a brand that says, come to me if you want to know anything about XYZ. But don't get it twisted. You already have a brand. What does your brand say about you? But anyway, back to you, Coach. Your brand is what is whatever comes to people's mind when your name comes up, that's your brand. It's everything that people think of, that's your brand. Now, if you don't like your brand, of course, you can change your brand and revamp it. Of course, people didn't always think of, well, do I need a brand? But, you know, yes, you do. Because on your job, your brand is what to your next promotion or whatever. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm glad you said that. Your brand will get you to your next promotion. That's
or
key.
Not.
Will.
Or not. Or not. Because if your brand is that you're pushy, you're unorganized, you always show up late, you have poor judgment. If your brand says that you don't take responsibility. So our brand is everything that we're already doing that people can see and know about us. So you already have a brand, but what does your brand say? And that's how you can tell whether you have a good brand or not. If you have a good brand, fine. If you don't, that's where you can get with those people that Coach Cassandra is talking about, people like herself, myself, other people. There are some people who are so committed to this branding thing, they have launched themselves as brand experts. But what I'm saying is that, yes, a person can work on individual brands. I mean, it doesn't take long to become a brand expert once you know what branding is. But back to you, Coach Sandra and Coach Fred.
Yeah, Fred, did you, what do you think about branding, Fred? What have you done?
As far as branding, yes, your brand can take you to your next promotion or not. Absolutely true. What does your brand say about you on the job? What does your brand say about you in your neighborhood? What does your brand say about you as you walk every day?
That's right.
As Christ-centered people, our brand should say Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
People always, they think about branding in terms of what is I want, what do I want the world to know about me, who I am. It's I. Your brand should say Jesus Christ. He is the one who leads you to your next promotion or not, depending
right.
on what your brand for Christ says. We ought to be walking, talking, doing things a certain way every day so that our brand, because we are representative of him, our brand should mark that. If your brand does not mark that, your promotion in a job, in a business, in life even, may not come. You know,
good
so
point.
Self-promotion versus promotion of God in your life can just like any product, Procter & Gamble, Kellogg's, Money, those brands symbolize, you see those names, those brands, those symbols of who they are, and you know immediately. Well, people should know
right.
from us immediately who we are, and that's what our branding
yeah.
needs to be. So that's a good way to understand branding. Of, is knowing who you are in Christ and people able to see it. That's the same thing you do with a business. They should
That's
know
right.
your business. They should know your name. They should know what you stand for. We were talking in a men's group last night and we were saying that, you know, you can get a lot of things in life, things, go a lot of places, do a lot of things. But at the end of the day, the only thing that's left at the end of your life, at the end of the day, is your character and your integrity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a brand that speaks more highly of you than almost anything else. So that's what I think of branding. Back to you, Coach.
Great. Awesome.
Yes.
Yes.
Our brand. So our brand being love and kindness and those things. Just like when you hear Procter & Gamble, think of quality. You think of fair price. You think of value. You think of, you know, durability. You think, you know, when you know something was produced by Procter & Gamble and Timberland, their brand is, you know, long lasting. All of these different, you know, companies put their brand out there. And you, like you said, we as believers, we're putting the qualities of our brand name, Jesus being that brand name. So whatever we do, whether we're teachers, authors, speakers, budget analysts, you know, engineers, phone operators, floor sweepers, window washers, parents, whatever it is we're doing, we have the brand behind us. It's just like they used to say, the quality goes in before the name goes on. And I think I forget what company that was their slogan. So God has already put inside of you, you know, his power. Before we go out there saying we're this, or that, we have the power of the Holy Spirit already. I think that's awesome. So good point today is, right, branding, yes. Nice talk.
What about self-discovery? How do you discover self?
Uh-huh. Discovering who you are. Yes. Good question. Discover who you are. Well, I think, and I'll let Coach Cassandra go next, but I think that discovering who I am is easy once I know whose I am. Once I know, first let me know whose I am. Who do I, because I need that identity. Whose I am, now that I know whose I am, now I go to, it's just like a car, a Nissan. If you want to fix your Nissan or find out what all your Nissan can do, you don't read a Chevrolet book. You want to know what your Nissan can do, you need read the Nissan book or your Ultima or your Maximum. You need the Nissan book. So let's first know whose we are. Now let me go read the instructions for the one that created me. Let him tell me who I am, all right? And when I do that, now that tells me that I can do all things. That tells me that I'm the head and not the tail. That tells me if I get trouble in my life, he's going to give me double for my trouble. That tells me if I have to, that tells me if I go out there and mess up and do something wrong, he's going to turn my ashes into beauty. So I learned a lot about myself. I learned a lot from my parents and other people around me, siblings and teachers and whatnot, but I didn't really discover who I really was until I read it in the Word of God, because he has the true answer that surpasses all our understanding. I can't, you know, the human mind cannot conceive all that we really are. And it's unfolding every day, because John 2:3 tells us, he says, it doeth not yet appear what you shall be. So whatever you see is not the end result. That's why we can't get caught up into where we're at. I don't care if we're at our lowest low or at our highest high, because it doeth not yet appear. It's not all being revealed yet. We're becoming every day. So, yeah, back to you, Coach Cassandra.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. It sounds like those are some...
Okay, we're getting a little static there, but...
You go ahead, you and Fred, okay?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, so that's what I... That's how I look at discovering who I am, and then... Because, you know, as we go through life, things happen to us. And sometimes we take on those things that happen to us to let that direct who we are. You know, but God had to show me those things happen to you, but that's not necessarily who you are. Now, we maybe let those things become who we are. You can always go back to the original. It's like a piece of furniture. You can buy a piece of good furniture. You know, it could get tarnished. You know, it could get, you know, it could get scarred. It could get rusty or whatever happens to it, right? Dull, what happens, right? And what can happen? You could take that piece of furniture, get some sandpaper, and what people that are into that field, they'll sand it down and they'll take it back to its natural state, you know. And...
Yes.
And that's what can happen to us as well. You know, we can go back to our natural state. Maybe we've been abused or something tragic has happened to us or some chaotic situation or not. Sometimes nothing has happened. Sometimes some people are just bored with their lives. I was talking to this in our coaching session yesterday about how, you know, some people have all the money in the world, but they're still not living satisfied, fulfilled lives. Have a life that is somewhat satisfied or successful, but they're really not fulfilled. You know, so, you know, and that's what, you know, we're here for, to help people, you know, to help people become satisfied, to find out who they really are. Because when you know who you really are, satisfaction, fulfillment are on tap. You can get them every single day. It's not like a single day that goes by that you wake up and know that you're going to have a fulfilling day.
All right. Back to Coach Fred. I need to step out of the studio. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes, great. No problem. Yeah, Coach Fred. That's how I, you know.
Okay.
How do you?
What kind of, are there tools for self-discovery that you can suggest for people? I know we as coaches, we help people with the self-discovery portion of that. What kind of tools do you use, Coach, in self-discovery?
Well, the first thing I do with people is I definitely, the main tool that I use with people, I actually wrote it in a book, and the book is Release Your Power, 8 Strategies for Becoming Who You Really Are. So that's
okay.
The first tool. Yes, because I already poured out a lot of what God gave me in that book to help people find out who they really are. I put my strategies in there. I put some tips in there, some nuggets of wisdom, and that's, you know, what, that's like my main source and my main tool right there, because I believe that in order to really release your power, you know, you can't really do that until you really know who you really are, till you get down,
yes,
down to that authentic you. So that's one of the main thrust behind the book, you know, getting to the authentic you. Who are you for real? That's what that book deals with. Who's the real you? Will the real you please stand up? You know, not this person that you're just faking to you make it to be. But who's you? What do you really want? What are you really about? What's your real purpose?
That you mentioned a word there, authenticity. What is that? What do you mean by authenticity?
Yeah, being authentic. Being being the real you, basically, just like a piece of artwork, right? If you get a real good piece of artwork that
yeah.
was created by the person who originated that, they will give you a certificate of authenticity with that piece of artwork to show that this is not a duplication, this is not a replica, this was the original. And so we were created by God, so we are the original. What's the original thing that God created? Not the person that went out there and, you know, some people did certain things to us, and now we've taken on that identity. For instance, I'll give you a good example. A person that, you know, has been molested as a child for years and years, or has been raped, or has been abused, then that person starts to see themselves only as a victim. They begin to see the rest of their life as a victim. But that's not who you were initially created to be. So go back to the original, to the authentic you. The authentic you is a creative person and a reason to be here, not the thing that happened to you. So find that, and therefore, when we get to that authentic person, being authentic, you know, the real you, your real passion, your real joy, your real, you know, when you get to that, now you can offer something great to the world, because the world wants authentic, not trying to be like somebody else. You can have a role model and a mentor. Yes, you can. You can see people do things and say, wow, I would like to do that someday. But at the same time, you're going to do it, but you're going to do it in your own way. You're not going to do it just like someone else. You're not going to want what somebody else has. Okay, let's just say if I was to come to your house, you would invite me to your home, and you have a big, beautiful home, and you have your wonderful spouse or whatever. I'm not going to be sitting there thinking, I should have this. I want, you know, he doesn't deserve this. I deserve this because I did this, this, and that. No, because God may, I'm just giving an example, God may have a bigger house for me. If I just limit myself to wanting to be you, wanting what you have, hey, wait a minute, that's not being authentic, all right? And the real me, I don't know, maybe I can't even handle what you have. Or what about this? I may not be able to handle what it took you to get there. I don't know what you had to go through. I don't know what your life was like growing up. I don't know how you were raised. I don't know what you've been through. I don't know what you had to suffer to be where you are. So being authentic is about being comfortable in your own skin, being comfortable exactly the way God made you, being the real you. The real Lalisa is that my skin is the color that it is, okay? So I can't go and be jealous of, let's say, a woman that's lighter, light skin, because we know in the black community we got that colorism thing going. And hair. My hair is what it is. My feet, I wear a size 10. I'm only 5'3". Listen, when I go to the store, I can't get upset because I can't fit a size 6 shoe, and I can't go feeling bad. The authentic me has to be okay with everything that I am. Anyway, so those are just some of the things that about, and when you become okay with being authentically you, you know, listen, I'm different. Let's face it, we are all different. And I don't try to make myself be like, you know, Oprah Winfrey or Coach Cassandra, for that matter. I can't be anybody but who Felisa is. And that's what I call being authentic and being okay with it. That's another story. You're going to be who you are anyway, but are you okay with it? Because, quite frankly, no one likes a fake. No, almost nobody likes a fake.
Absolutely true. Absolutely true. What I use to illustrate that is when we talk about branding, I think of Nike when they came out with the ad, Be Like Mike. Now, I was sitting with some young men on a basketball team, and they said, a lot of them said they wanted to be like Mike. They would practice, do things Mike did. They would get in the gym and do everything that Mike did. But I said to them, you know, we all purpose for one thing. There's something that we all purpose to do. You have to find that. Well, Mike found his. If you strive to be like Mike, you can only strive to be as good as Mike. You can never surpass Mike by trying to be like Mike, which will limit you, which will also make you a carbon copy. When there's more than one of any one thing, one of them becomes irrelevant. And guess which one? It's not going to be the original. It's always the duplicate. So if you want to be, if you want to find your ultimate power and your purpose and be great, you can't be like Mike. Suppose LeBron James wanted to be like Mike. He wouldn't be LeBron James right now.
Exactly.
So you always have to strive to find your own identity, find your own purpose, and finding that in God, and finding what your purpose to do, and not to be like anyone. Develop your brand. Be your own brand, but the brand that God says you should be. And
that's
stress to young men, especially young women, because they look at and idolize, say, a Beyonce or Jay-Z, and they want to be like. And they need not to try to be like, but to try to be, just to try to be their self. And that comes through self-discovery. Yes. Back to you, Coach.
Yes. Now, if you have a comment or you want to get in on this topic, this conversation, or you have a question, just hit your number one key, and I will open up your phone line. And we will take your call this morning live on the air. So, yes, you just hit your number one key, and I will open up your phone line if you have a comment or if you have a question regarding branding yourself, business, or you have a question about becoming the real you, or you have a question about, you know, your company or, you know, your business or your career for that matter, or something in your relationship even. You know, relationships today are very important, and very different these days, I noticed, than what it, because back when I was, you know, I've been married 25 years, so I was married prior to the cell phone days. I mean, you know, when I went on a, you know, would go out on a date, you didn't have to worry about, you know, I can't imagine being on a date with somebody and their cell phone ringing and they have to take that call. Wow. You know, I'm a Scorpio, you know, but I don't follow it. But when I was back then, I was more so following the zodiac signs and, you know, what they say about scorpions. Boy, I would have been jealous-hearted. I would have been upset if I was with somebody on a date and they took a phone call, because I was always taught, you know, that, you know, it's sort of like one man for one woman thing. That's how my parents raised me. So, and that's all I ever saw and knew. So when I started in the dating field, in the dating thing, you know, it wasn't about you having nobody else, and it wasn't about me having nobody else, at least not at that time, you know. But, and not to say that that always was the case, but at least that was the perception going in. But I couldn't imagine. I'm on a date with somebody and they take a phone call. What? I don't even know if I would. I know things are different, okay? Because, and I know people do this because I see people out, and I don't know if they're married or just dating or not, but I see people do it. And I know if you have kids and things at home, you have to check off and whatnot, but I just can't even imagine that. I just really can't. But, hey, so I'm just saying, you know, relationships are different. There's other things. And the Facebook, oh, my God. I can't imagine, because people have a lot of friends on Facebook, right? And things like Twitter, you know, people have their fans, people following them. And now when I was coming around dating back then, 30 years ago or so, you know, people would have what was called like your little black book, right? And might have some phone numbers in there, right? And, but I mean, a little book can actually be thrown away, really be thrown away, but... So how do you throw away a Facebook page? Oh, my God. I know things have got to be different in the dating scene. But anyway, just some thoughts I had, questions, I guess. How are you people handling all that?
I wonder how people do that. It's strange that, but here's the thing. In coaching, we understand the communication process. We understand communicating, talking, asking the right questions, and listening. These are the very skills, as limited as they have been taught to us, that people are relinquishing, thrown away. They sit and they may, you'll see three young people, they sitting on a bench. And it doesn't have to be young people, I just use that for an example. But they may be sitting on a bench and they're all texting each other. They're sitting right next to each other, and they're sending texts back and forth. The art of listening, the art of communicating in the form of spoken word. How are you ever creativity that's being lost? How are we ever going to do major business deals in the future if no one knows how to verbally express anything to each other? You know, all those things are being lost just by...
That's a good point.
The cell phone instructor. I know a couple of teachers who even talk about students who are so ingrained in the cell phone that when they have to write a paper, they start leaving out the vowels in a paper. That's funny. That is so outrageously funny. It's an art to be able to write in that manner, but to leave out the very essentials that we're taught as toddlers of the human language in order to communicate.
Well, that's why. Well, guess what? Well, when they go to not to cut you off, but when they go to college, they're going to. We're seeing it now. They have to have in some of these colleges now. They have to have writing labs because they basically have to teach them how to write. Because in college, you got to write essays almost every single day, so they have to actually teach them how to write when they get to college.
Wow.
They have writing labs. One college I was at, they have a whole floor dedicated to writing. And I've been around the community colleges now since 1990, so 24 years, and I've never seen the things that I'm seeing today as it relates to writing. And they've always had remedial writing courses, but now it's more intense. And I'm pretty sure they will start rolling it down to the high school level.
Okay. Well, I would think if I was an employer hiring someone, instead of looking at their resume, I would give them a writing test or a reading test. Mm-hmm. I would give them a communications test, especially in any business where you, in almost most business, you negotiate terms. I would sit them down in the room for the interview in front of someone and have them have a discussion.
Mm-hmm.
On something for 5 minutes and see if they could actually hold a discussion. I think that would be more important than all the accolades, all the degrees, everything else that you have, that you're able to write and
well,
communicate.
You're hitting on very – Go ahead.
And that you can do that in a professional manner, professional being what's professional for that
vocation.
Industry. Sure.
In that industry, yes, that you can communicate in those terms and be able to effectively communicate with someone in those terms. I would think that's going to be an important skill.
Well, you know what you're doing, really, what you're doing, Fred, is you're making a great case for college because that's exactly what we do in college. Nowadays, even in the two-year colleges, every student has to take a public speaking course. It is now mandatory. It was always mandatory in the four-year schools for the most part. Now it's absolutely mandatory in the two-year schools. A second thing that you're basically making this such a serious case for college. In other words, high school diploma will not be enough for the average employer. Number two, they have to write. And everybody on here who's listening in knows what I'm talking about if they've been through college. Number two, you have to write. First of all, you have to write a letter to get in college, is number one. And a lot of things are done, you know, online where you got to type and things like that. But in addition to that, guess what you got to do in the classroom? Now they're making the students do a lot more group activity. They're not just sitting there listening to a lecture. That's old style. That's old school. The students have to give the lectures, and they have to talk in groups. That's a big part of the curriculum and new teaching strategy. So you're making a good – so thank you very much. I'll put that in my next speech. And you're making a great case of why it's going to be essential for people to get college degrees because companies, because you're demanding that companies demand these skill sets, and they're not getting these skill sets in the average high schools, grade schools, and all that, okay? But guess where they do get it? They absolutely get it in college.
Wow.
So thank you.
And here's another thing that I saw on the weekend. This kind of hurt my heart a little bit, but in another sense it was good. There was a lady, a national lady on TV, who had worked for major corporations, and she was in the school system. I believe this was in Philadelphia. And she had an entire class of girls, of ladies, young ladies, maybe about 20 of them. And what she was doing was teaching them how to speak affirmations about themselves. What she called it was bragging. So they were all standing in the room, and they had to learn how to brag to each other. Not so much bragging in the sense of doing a dozen or anything, but in sense they had to say who they were, what they've accomplished in life, how it's and what they're moving forward to. That I thought this was great because if you're going to work for the government and you do a resume for the government, they want you to talk about yourself and brag about yourself, tell the good things. Right. If you're going in private sector, it's a little different with your resume. They don't want you to do that until you get on an interview. But if you're going to work for the government, they want you to do it on the actual forms that they have you to do that with. So another case for being able to speak about who you are, what you can do, what you're capable of. But in the one sense, I thought it was with young ladies, but I didn't see any young men. You know, and it's almost as if, we know that more young ladies, I believe, based on the statistics I've seen, I don't know this to be fact, you would know better, that more young ladies are attending and finishing college than young men, and more precisely, more black young men, let's say. Not only are they finishing college, but they're being taught how to speak up, speak about themselves in glowing terms. And our young men are being left behind, was kind of disturbing. And that's not to say that she doesn't, or there isn't a man that's doing the same thing. They just didn't highlight it.
Right. Exactly. And it probably is somebody doing it, but like you said, probably not highlighted. Probably not highlighted to that degree or in that spot, but highlighted probably somewhere.
Yes.
Just not, just not there maybe. But you're absolutely right, though, Fred. I mean, this is exactly what you're right when it comes to those resumes and those interviews and what companies want and what companies are doing in terms of people being knowing what to say about themselves, we were doing a resume and interview writing workshop on Tuesday night, and that was one of the things that, you know, we shared with the participants, is that in those behavioral-based resumes or interviews, which companies are looking for, and a lot of the people were saying how their resumes aren't getting noticed, then, you know, that's kind of why. Companies don't just want you to tell them what skill you have, but they want you to tell them what the result that that skill produced. So you could have the skill of being an analyst, but what did you analyze that caused that company to either save money, reduce turnover, expand its operations, grow its customer base? So you, we know you have the skills. Let's say you're a great communicator. That's awesome. But what has your communication, your great communication skill, what has it done to, again, increase productivity, increase profits, reduce turnover, cut costs? You know what I'm saying? And that's that bragging thing that, that's what they're teaching now, because they know that all companies want to see this now. And they want to see it, first of all, we're not even going to look at your resume if your resume can't talk about, basically, like what you're saying, sort of like a bragging, but it's bragging about not what skill you have. That's how it was 30 years ago. Now you got to tell us what's the result of your skill. And that's what a lot of people don't know how to do, and so their resumes are sometimes not getting noticed. To even many of them, but the government is very good at, you're absolutely right on that one. But
absolutely.
I am, yes, we are at the end of our road. It's like that song.
So soon.
We come to the road. So soon, so soon. We're at the end of the road, Fred. Yes.
Wow.
So we'd like to thank you, Fred, for showing up. You are our awesome guest today. Woo-hoo! And
supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
I know, right? You got to put that crazy in there. So I want you to do that one more time, Fred. And everyone, thank you for listening, for tuning in to another episode. We hope you got something out of the show today. As you are all about entrepreneurs, you're an entrepreneur, whether you know it or not. And so go out there and make something exciting happen at work, at home. If you're in a home-based business, create something. Expand something, launch something. That's what'll give you bragging rights. You got to do something. Start a newspaper. Start a newsletter. Start an association. Some people, you know, don't have money, don't have the wherewithal to start a business. Start an association. Start a group. So many things we can talk about, but we can't talk about them now because we're out of time. But Coach Fred, tell everybody what kind of day to have.
All righty, and everyone have a supercalifragilisticexpialidocious day.
All right. I know he's a man, so he doesn't want to say that baby, but I'll put that part in. All right, everyone, have a great and fantastic day, and we'll see you back here tomorrow, Friday. Now, I'm going to be opening up some phone lines tomorrow, so for all you shy people, get ready. Have your phone lines. We don't care if there's noise in the background. I don't care if babies are screaming and crying. We're going to open up those phone lines, and we want to talk to you. All right, Coach Cassandra, Coach Fred, it's been great. It's been real. But we got to move on.
We got to move on.
All right. Coach Cassandra said, we got to move on.
Love you. I heard Fred. You guys are great. Make it do what it do, baby. Bye.
There's no stopping you now. Well, thank you for tuning in to another segment of All About Entrepreneurs. Don't forget, stop by our website, www.blogtalkradio.com/allaboutentrepreneurs, and visit us on the web at www.release.com. www.your-power.com. Like our friend page on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at twitterandfacebook.com/CoachLalisa. If you would like to get in touch with one of the entrepreneurs or one of the guests that you've heard on this show, please send us a request on Facebook or on Twitter or right here on Blog Talk Radio. Well, if you're not an entrepreneur yet, I don't know what you're waiting for. Go out and make it happen. Again, we'll see you tomorrow, same time, same place, for another exciting episode of All About Entrepreneurs. Stay tuned for our conferences, our seminars, and our webinars where you can get further trained as you develop just what you are and just what you want to do. Again, this has been Coach Lalisa J. Williams.